is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp dead back in at the bar. Wasting away again in margarita, searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a one to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault.
Oh yeah. And we mourn the passing of Jimmy Buffett. He is a real piece of Americana. Really sad to hear his passing, but his music will live forever, as they say. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for being with us today. It is Friday, September the 8th. We have a lot going on. In a few minutes, Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute is going to be here. And we're going to talk about a Cato study that calls for cutting back federal funds for farmers and food stamps. You know, the SNAP program? I think he makes some pretty good points, so stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And President Biden off to India for a two-day G20 summit with Democrats, hoping that his presence there is going to stem a general lack of confidence in his running again for president. So we're going to keep an eye on him. Let's hope that he doesn't fall down in front of the Maharaja. And a vocal proponent of defunding the police changes her tune after she gets mugged and carjacked. Sometimes it takes something like that to make you see the light. We're going to tell you about that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 U.S. cities with the most illegals running around. We should say the top 10 U.S. metro areas, to be exact. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, how many times do I have to tell you the best place for your haircut in Tampa Bay? Not only will you get a great haircut, it's a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, do you still have trees down? Do you have any trouble with any kind of tree issues? Do you need to grow trees? Do you need to have stumps ground down? Whatever, if it has to do with trees, Arbor Life Tree Service, call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, Joe Biden, he would look interesting in a turban, wouldn't he? But he's over there in India. He arrives today for a two-day summit of the G20 at a moment of division among the world's leading economies. Biden is not apparently aiming to paper over the fractures during his time. By the way, he's in New Delhi. But with an eye toward countering China, he does hope to convince a splintered world that the U.S. remains committed and valuable as a partner in the G20. He arrives there with his polling in the dumps. Did you know 67% of Democrats do not want him to run again? That's Democrats. That's Democrats. Two-thirds of Democrats do not want him to seek re-election. And by the way, that's not some right-wing survey. That's a CNN survey. That means that Ed was not called for this survey. They did not call Ed. They did not call me. They probably called our friends on the show yesterday. They still don't want him to run. And Biden's advisors hope that his activities on the global stage can help provide a little confidence. So here's the deal, Joe. Don't wander away thinking that the ceremony is over with. Okay? You can't do that, especially on the world stage. Biden's shaky political standing has left fellow leaders, especially in Europe, wondering what the next year is going to portend and whether Biden and his pledges of a robust U.S. role in the world will be sustained. You know, another thing I worry about is his dozing off. He tends to do that if he's not talking. In fact, he'll possibly doze off in the middle of a speech. But, you know, when he sits at a table and there's all these people there and they're having a dinner or something like that, I've noticed he'll, or somebody else is making the speech, he'll nod off, catch a couple of winks. Don't worry about that.
Kind of fits in with everybody else these days, you know.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, poor Mitch McConnell. Now, he's back. He doesn't want to talk about his little bout. He's very reluctant. But you know what? He's too old. He's got to go. He really has to go. I mean, there's some obvious people that don't belong in their positions anymore. That's Biden and McConnell.
Fetterman.
And Fetterman. I don't know what's going on with him. He can't even put on a suit.
Feinstein.
He's always... He's about 7 foot tall, and he's always wearing
jogging shorts.
Yeah, what's going on? Is he out? Is he going to go out for
a
run?
Hoodie.
Yeah. He's either going to go out for a run or he's going to rob a 7-Eleven. I'm not sure which.
He looks totally awkward in a suit when they do get him to suit up.
Well, he's a big guy. He's a very tall, big guy,
big
and that's fine.
Wear suits, but
I don't think he has to necessarily wear the entire suit these days. You know, maybe an open collar. You know. With a suit coat? I mean, he would look a lot more professional, wouldn't he?
He's usually sitting down, so maybe he just wears the jacket and the shirt.
And the other person we got to talk about is 90-year-old Dianne Feinstein. She has no business being in politics anymore. I don't even think Pelosi's got it all together, if you listen to her. We got so much. This has got to be the oldest collection of politicians ever assembled.
Yeah.
In Washington, D.C. Even Donald Trump, let's face it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's completely, you know, totally there, as opposed to Biden, who's not there. But you start worrying about some of these people. By the way, did you see that poll, Ed, that shows of all the different Republicans that can beat Joe Biden, that Nikki Haley...
Yeah, I saw that.
Apparently, according to this poll, has the best chance of beating Biden?
Why don't they just... You know,
what do you think about that?
We took a poll of a poll that gave us a poll of polling people. They come up
with
so many.
Do you ever get called? Ed, have you ever been called?
And how credible are these polls? I mean, who is it? Is it just some intern that goes out and interviews 10 people? And I've got a poll.
I think it's also harder to reach. People used to be welded to a phone in their house, right?
Why don't they ever poll
now they
me?
Don't. Now everybody's got two or three phones, and they're wandering all over the place. I just wonder about the accuracy of phone calling anymore, if that's really an accurate polling. What do you think?
Well, how come they never poll me?
That's what I asked you.
Well, nobody ever calls me to poll me.
I'll call you someday, just to make you feel good. I'll pretend to be a...
I mean, if they called me and asked me about Biden, I'd give them an earful. I'd give them the money's worth.
I bet you would.
They'd probably hang up on me and mark that down for... He'll mark it down as Ford Biden.
Oh, you're a funny guy. Hey, did you hear that there's a possibility that Donald Trump, if he became the nominee for the Republicans, might have Kristi Noem of South Dakota, the governor of South Dakota, as his running mate? Did you hear about that?
She's the one that does the commercial about the electrician.
Yeah, she's pretty good, actually. I think the commercials are pretty good. She's a dentist. She's an electrician. I think she's a welder. And
she's not bad
she's
on
a plumber and one of them.
She's not bad on the eyes, either.
And she's a nice-looking woman. And she's doing a hell of a job. We're going to talk about her maybe a little bit later in the show. I think there's a possibility that he's thinking about that Donald. Well, it's a long way away from worrying about it, though. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, a buddy of ours, Chris Edwards, of the great Cato Institute, is going to be here. We're going to talk about a study that Cato has done on cutting back subsidies to farmers and the SNAP program.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday. And thank you so very, very much for being with us. And we're delighted to have back an old buddy of ours, Chris Edwards, of the fantastic, wonderful Cato Institute, where he is the Kilts Family Chair in Fiscal Studies. He's also, by the way, the editor of downsizinggovernment.org. Boy, I like that, downsizing government. That is a Herculean task. Chris, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Paul.
It's always our pleasure to have you, because you know so doggone much, and always enjoy talking with you because I learn a lot of stuff. And Cato has now released a study on farm subsidies and the SNAP food program, which I think is good timing. I believe Congress is set to consider a major farm bill, are they not?
That's right. Every 5 years, Congress reauthorizes this giant thing called the farm bill, which includes both farm subsidy programs for farmers and also the giant food stamp or SNAP program. This is it's a $1.5 trillion bill that Congress is going to be considering this fall. And if you think about the political context here, you know, the House Republicans, forced a little bit of discipline on Congress earlier this year in the debt ceiling deal to hold down so-called discretionary spending for a couple years. So this fall, we're going to have another test at how conservative these Republicans really are. Will this farm bill be a gigantic pork barrel monstrosity like it usually is, or will the House conservatives push for some reform?
Yes, indeed. You know, ever since, and I've been around a long time, ever since I was a little boy, I've heard about farm subsidies. Paying farmers not to grow certain products at certain times. And I always wondered, why does the government ever do that? It never, even when I was a little kid, I couldn't figure that out. And
Yeah, they do it. I'll tell you why. They do it for two reasons. One is, it used to be in the olden days when the people, politicians, thought farm prices were too low, in quotation marks, and so they had the government buy up a lot of the products, or they forced farmers or paid them not to farm, and that would reduce supply and supposedly increase prices, sort of like Soviet central planning.
Exactly.
Today they do it for a bit of a different reason. Today they give all these subsidies to farmers, and so the farmers expand their production onto more sensitive lands like wetlands and grasslands. So that, you know, this is sort of a bad for the environment. And to offset that, then they pay farmers not to farm some of these acres. I think it's over 20 million acres now. So the government, they pay farmers not to farm, partly to counteract the negative effects of government programs.
Yeah,
so you see a lot of this in government. There's a circularity to it.
Absolutely. You mentioned in your program, your report that the government spends more than $30 billion a year on farm subsidies. And I'm thinking to myself, so they know better than a farmer what and where and when to grow a product? Are you kidding me? We would have. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's an enormous micromanagement in this industry. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has around 150 programs for farmers. You know, everything from they do the research, they have loans, they have just grants, cash payment amounts. They give them subsidized insurance. On and on and on. There's no other industry in America like this. And you know, we've seen the government get into subsidizing a lot of industries these days, like energy and semiconductors, which is a really bad trend. But I think agriculture outclasses them all in terms of shaking the money tree in Washington. It's extraordinary the benefits that this industry gets. And I think, you know, the traditional argument was that farmers are poor and they have high risks. They're no longer poor. These days, farmers are much wealthier than other Americans. And frankly, I don't see that the industry is any more risky than many other industries. I mean, if you were to open, you know, the restaurant at the, you know, on the corner of your street, if you live in a city, that restaurant here faces a huge amount of risks, and we see a lot of turnover and bankruptcy and a lot of other industries like that. So I don't think farming is any more risky than a lot of other industries in America.
Yeah, of course, there are far fewer farmers than there used to be. I remember back in the 50s. I lived just outside Chicago, and you didn't have to go far outside Chicago. You were into an agricultural environment. That's no longer the case, of course. I guess it's the big, huge corporation farms, would you call it now, running things, or what?
That's right. It's there's 2 million. This is about 2 million farms in America. That includes everything from crop farmers to poultry, to beef cattle, fruits and vegetables. And one interesting thing is, it's of the 2 million farms, only about a third of them get the regular subsidies. It's basically the crop farmers, soybean, wheat, corn. Those are the basic grabbers of money from Washington. The beef cattle folks, the poultry, fruits and vegetables, they generally are not subsidized. They get along. They operate in the marketplace and, you know, in competitive markets, and they survive generally without the government. It's the crop farmers who get all the benefits for historical reasons, I think.
Yeah. Indeed. We're talking with Chris Edwards. He is from the Cato Institute. They've done a report on farm subsidies and the SNAP program. He's also, by the way, the editor of downsizinggovernment.org. Got to go to that website, take a look at it. Chris, why are welfare programs like SNAP in the Department of Agriculture?
Because there's a very good political reason for that. It's because I think back in the 70s, what they decided to do is, well, the food stamp program goes back to 1964, and they put it in the Department of Agriculture so that you have these big farm bills in front of Congress, and there's log rolling. So the rural members support the farm subsidy programs, the urban members support the food stamp program.
That's
been the basic log roll for decades now. The food stamp program is a gigantic welfare program. It's over $120 billion a year. The cost has more than doubled over the last 5 years. It's in great need of reform, not only because of the cost, but as also I've been writing about, one quarter of the spending on the food stamp program is junk food today.
Wow.
You get your food stamps on the so-called EBT electronic, like an ATM card, and you essentially can buy any food in a grocery store, a corner market, or local, you know, corner store. And we have the detailed data now, and about a quarter of the money goes for cola and potato chips and things like that. And, you know, I'm a libertarian. I think people ought to be able to buy whatever they want. But I'm also a taxpayer, yeah, and I say, hey, not with my dime. Exactly. If we're going to have a giant government program, you know, it seems utterly wasteful to me, especially when we've got giant deficits and we've got a huge obesity problem in America. It seems utterly wasteful to me that we're spending, the government's spending, with $30 billion a year so people can buy junk food.
I got a question for you, Chris. Do you ever feel like Don Quixote? You know what I mean?
I've been complaining about some of these programs for two decades.
I salute you because you have been fighting the good fight, and the Cato Institute has been fighting the good. And yet it's getting worse, Chris.
Yeah.
It's not going down.
I think there are a couple of issues are coming to a head. So, for example, on the farm subsidies, the obvious way to cut the farm subsidies is to, you know, millionaire, even billionaire landowners now get some of these subsidies. So people like Bill Gates, for example, get farm government taxpayer paid farm subsidies because they own land. It makes absolutely no sense. So that strikes me as we should have reforms there, because progressive Democrats as well as populist Republicans should be against giving, you know, government subsidies to billionaires. So that's an obvious reform. And then on the food stamps, there's all kinds of healthcare experts and doctors who've written about this problem with the food stamps, that low-income folks, they have a bigger obesity problem than other Americans, and they have poorer diets. And the government is fueling that with the food stamp program. It makes absolutely no sense. So I think that there's, you know, a healthcare reform there we can make on the food stamp program. Senator Marco Rubio, for example, has a bill that says basically, hey, you can't buy cola and junk food with food stamps. And so that's the direction we need to go.
Oh, you're absolutely right. There's no question. But it's like the third rail, like Social Security. Republicans and Democrats are afraid to cut back. Who wants to cut back on the SNAP program? What guy's going to get up there and get Congress to vote on cutting back the funding for the SNAP program?
Go ahead. You pointed to the problem earlier in the program is these politicians like Mitch McConnell, who've been around there forever, who are pork barrel spenders, right. And they don't want to reform anything. I mean, it's time for people like McConnell to go.
No, there's no
what
question.
The particularly the Republican Party needs, they need reformers. You they need it. People who are willing to stand up and do something about this absolute massive deficit and debt we've got. And McConnell is not the man to do that. We need younger leadership, reform leadership. We need reform leadership in both parties, but particularly the Republican Party, which claims to be the fiscally conservative party.
There's no question about it. McConnell comes from a tobacco state and an agricultural state. He's not going to cut back on any of that subsidy stuff. He's in favor of it. All of these people, they're worried sick about what would happen if they want to cut back on the SNAP programs. You know, it's just there's only a handful.
Well, many of the rural state Republicans, you know, they occasionally they'll speak out against, you know, the high cost in the SNAP or food stamp program, but they don't do anything about it because they don't want to jeopardize their farm subsidies. And so this is a terrible problem. In prior farm bills, the House Republicans, to their credit, tried to separate out and have separate votes on the food stamps and the farm subsidies. And that would have been a step forward. But unfortunately, you know, Senate Republicans and Democrats quashed that plan. But that is one route to go, is we need separate votes on a lot of these different subsidy programs.
Yeah. In fact, that's what, you know, Congress is known for. They'll take two huge issues and combine them in one bill so that they'll get both sides to vote on it. Positively.
That's right. That's what log rolling is. Log rolling undermines democracy because it means that many programs pass into law that do not have true majority support either in Congress or amongst the general public.
So, Chris, when you do this very important report on farm subsidies and the SNAP food program, do the legislators actually get a chance, I mean, honestly, to take a look at what you report? Or is it just like, you know, what do you want to call it, whistling in the wind or something?
No, they see what we say. And there's a broad coalition on the farm subsidies, for example, of conservative and libertarian groups, as well as environmental groups. A lot of the environmental groups don't like all these farm subsidy programs because they're generally bad for the environment. So, you know, I was up earlier this week on Capitol Hill with some environmental groups talking to congressional staffers about, you know, the need for reform and the like. So I think that, you know, they hear the complaints on Capitol Hill for sure. They don't, the House and Senate Agriculture Committees don't invite dissenters to hearings, but I think that certainly the staff, you know, hear about complaints from groups like the Cato Institute.
Absolutely. Well, the Cato Institute, I think now more than ever, the Cato Institute is so necessary, so important. I'm so glad you're around. Chris, thank you so very much.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Always our pleasure. Thank you. Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we got a lot of things going on, among other things. A vocal proponent of defunding the police changes her tune after getting mugged and carjacked.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have fallen trees or damage from Hurricane Idalia? Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999. We are a veteran-owned Florida business with an ISA-certified arborist on site to handle your tree needs. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. We are licensed, insured, and have the manpower to come to your rescue today. No job too big or too small. Call us now at 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. Your trees will thank you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday. It's kind of dark and rainy outside, Dad. I'm coming over. I went through all kinds of water pools on the way. I guess I can look at it as giving my car a free wash. But
a lot of rain in the Gulf.
Yeah, there is.
Looks like it's coming onshore periodically in waves.
Is it? Yeah. Makes a difference. So a Democratic Party leader who was all for defunding the police at the height of the George Floyd riots back in 2020, this woman wrote Facebook posts supporting efforts to dismantle the police department. But yesterday she thanked the Minneapolis police and pushed to prosecute a bunch of kids that ran wild after she was carjacked. Her name is Shivanti. It's an Indian name, I guess, Sadanandan. And she's vice chairwoman of the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party. And today she makes a post that she was violently carjacked by, quote, four very young men, all carrying guns, unquote. She said they assaulted her in front of her children outside their home in broad daylight. She also included a photo of her head injuries, and she reported having a broken leg, deep lacerations on her head, bruising, and cuts around her body, as well as feeling rage against the lack of accountability in criminals. I don't like to say this, but did she get a comeuppance in this case? I think she did.
Sounds like they really roughed her up.
They roughed her up bad. Now she's changing her tune.
Yeah, they didn't just take her car, they roughed her up too.
That's right. She said, look at my face. Remember me when you're thinking about supporting letting juveniles and young people out of custody to roam our streets. instead of holding them accountable. Well, my dear lady, you also need a police department out there that can come to your assistance.
Yeah, they cut that, the Minneapolis.
Oh, they.
Probably the worst in the nation.
Yeah, it's one of the worst. Absolutely.
Cutbacks.
We have our buddy. Thank God he's around. Andrew, the master barber, is joining us. And Andrew, well, I wanted to get your take on that, but I also want to get your take on the possibility that South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem might be a vice presidential candidate on a ticket with Donald Trump. Did you hear about that?
I heard a little bit about it, Paul. You know, it'd be a good thing because that would attract a lot of the suburban housewives.
I think you're right.
That might have been against Trump because Kristi Noem has got the look, she's got the appearance and everything else. However, there will be some women, because I heard women talking how upset they were that Kristi Noem had some plastic surgery to look prettier.
So?
Okay, and that's the truth.
So,
you know, some women get jealous of her.
So would she be a net plus or a net minus when it came to women?
I think she would be a plus. It's mostly the Democrat women that would hate her anyway because she's beautiful.
What about Nikki Haley? Do you think she would?
No. Don't even mention her
name
around me.
Okay.
Nikki Haley. She's a has-been.
Well, wait a second. Did you not see that CNN poll that shows?
Let me finish.
That shows that all of the current Republican presidential candidates running against Biden, Nikki Haley would do the best with a 6-point over Biden. I think Trump comes up 1 point ahead, and our buddy Ramaswamy or whatever his name is possibly tied or 1 point behind.
Yeah. Well, it's a CNN poll. Listen,
yeah.
You tell me where Biden's even getting 40-something.
I agree with you on that.
Okay, come on. But there's no freaking way he's getting 40-something. He's in the 20s.
Yeah, he's got a 67% of Democrats. Listen, 2/3 of Democrats do not want him to run again.
And what does that tell you? That poll's all fake.
You don't buy that one either?
No.
Oh, okay. Two-thirds of Democrats do not want him to run again?
Oh, I know. I buy that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you're picking and choosing which poll you like, right?
Yep.
All right, so what are we going to do here? We've never seen anything like this. You and I know this. We've gone through a lot of different presidential situations, but never in our lifetimes have we ever seen such a mess that we have now. We've got one presidential candidate with about 4 indictments. We got another who apparently is taking bribe money from all over the world through his son. And these are the two leading candidates for the office of president?
I believe one of them is. I don't believe the other one
I know you do. So that's why I want to get your thought on this whole crazy environment.
No, Paul. It's a crazy environment. The more they keep messing with Trump, the more the people are getting behind him. You've got your black gangs behind Trump now, which really amazed me. And
black what?
The black gang. Somebody's black gang members. Or gang, I don't know what they call them.
A handful of rappers might have seen the light.
That's right. And you know what? By them singing their songs, they listen to it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's attracting a lot more black voters than he had the last time.
Well, I hope
Palmer.
You're right about that, but he still tends to be very disliked. Let's be honest. His negatives are as bad as Biden's are. And then when you got all these indictments, that's what I worry about, whether or not he really is electable.
Of course he's electable.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it.
I think he would do a great job if he gets in again. I'm just worried about enough people going, boy, I can't stand that guy. I'll never vote for him. You know, that
kind
of thing.
Well, you know what, Paul? They can say what they want when they reach in their pockets, just like that woman that got that was against the police. When these people reach in their pockets, they're going to have the same thing, Paul.
I hope you're right. I think you should be right. That's what should happen.
Paul, listen. By the holidays, the gas is going to be up to $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
Okay, groceries is up over 16%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at the mayor in Tampa wanted to raise the poor people's taxes over $200 a year. That got turned down by the city council. People are fed up, Paul.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Speaking of Florida, excuse me, Ron DeSantis shot down a heckler Did you hear about that one? Governor DeSantis laid into a heckler at a press conference at an Irish pub yesterday in Jacksonville. The heckler attempted to blame him for the racial shooting. You know that racial shooting in Jacksonville by a white guy? After the heckler tried to link DeSantis to the shooting while mentioning Trayvon Martin, he's that black teenager that was killed in Florida back in 2012, DeSantis said, "Excuse me, I'm not going to let you accuse me of committing criminal activity." He was over at Culhane's Irish Pub in Jacksonville. He says, "You want to have a civil conversation, that's one thing. To try to say that I'm letting that guy, he says, was Baker acted, which means they had thrown him into a hospital because he was a nutcase at one point." And DeSantis said he should have been ruled ineligible, but they didn't involuntarily commit him. Anyway, it just was, it's one of those things.
Paul.
Yeah.
The way things are going, I'm Trump.
I know.
There's no question about that.
But yeah.
I'm not going to underestimate Ron yet.
Good.
Because I see him coming around with different things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't underestimate yet what will happen in a year from now. I know what I'd like to see. But out of all the other people that are running, Ron would be the next
best. He would be your second choice.
He would be the next best. There's no question about it.
Okay. Well, no, that's fair. I'm trying to think of some of these others. You know, the guy that is not making as much of a dent as I thought he would is the black guy, and I always forget his
name. Tim Scott.
I thought Tim would make more of a dent. You know, here's a black conservative.
He didn't do well I don't think he did well in the debate.
It wasn't that he didn't do well. It's almost like he was sort of invisible, even though he was saying things.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, when you're a lower guy on the totem pole, then you don't get much time.
That's true, too.
And
well, Ron only got 5 minutes during the debate.
Ron DeSantis got a fairly good amount of time, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I think he did.
They totaled it up about 5 minutes from what I read.
Well, anyway, they talk about Ramaswamy's confrontation with Nikki Haley, and maybe Nikki Haley came out of that better. Maybe that's why that CNN poll shows her up more than the others against Joe Biden. I wonder.
When did we start trusting CNN polls?
I know. It's not just CNN. CNN actually links them up with, I don't have the thing in front of me, so I can't tell you.
I can just imagine the producers in the back room. Let's add a few points here. Take a few off here.
As a matter of fact,
carry the three.
As a matter of fact, I think DeSantis did not look good in that poll against Biden. Believe it or not, I think Trump was up one, and DeSantis might have been tied or down one.
Hmm. Well, they got Trump right now at 60 points and Ron at 15 points, Paul.
Oh, yeah. That's,
believe it or not.
Yeah, and you're talking about which one of the two that would win the Republican.
Right.
Right. Yeah, no, Trump's. Hey, by the way, Trump is going to be as we said, with Kristi Noem. You don't think that Kristi Noem might be his pick for a vice presidential candidate?
I think she might be.
You think she might be?
I think she'd be a good choice. Like I said, she would get those suburban housewives.
Yeah, you're right. You did say that. She says this: "We have not discussed it," meaning her being a potential vice presidential candidate, "but it sounds like she's all in." She said that she's not ruling anything out. She said, "Yeah, I'd have to consider it." That means you're darn right I'd take it. She says, "I think everybody would have to consider it if they were asked that question." That would be interesting. You know, I mean, South Dakota. We all love South Dakota, but frankly, it's not what we would call our most important state. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's got a lot of wildlife and a lot of Black Hills and all that. It's a beautiful state.
You know, Paul, you're going to see a lot of things coming down here, I think, in the next few months. Because I was watching New York State. They're on the verge of a blow-up there, Paul.
Yeah.
These people in New York are going nuts
right.
with the immigrants.
You're right. I mean, look at the mayor. He's ready to declare war on Washington.
Here's the other subject that's starting to creep in slowly but surely is COVID and masking up.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, when I saw that interview about a week ago when they had the president of Pfizer on, one of the makers of the shot, Says, we've got a variant coming out, and we're almost done putting the serum together and getting it ready to be put out sometime in the fall. It'll be ready. It's not a computer update, for one thing. And it'll be ready for people to take. And I've already seen Biden playing with the mask, taking it on, taking it off.
Yeah, that's
and
a
I
joke.
I can tell you two things.
What a joke.
I am not going to wear a mask, and I'm not going to get another shot. That's final.
I think most people
feel
that way.
Here's the interesting question I want to ask. Is, are they going to, if this shot comes out and they say, okay, we're going to mandate these certain people like police, firemen, government workers, people in the military must get the shot or you'll be fired.
I don't think
they're gonna... mandate that again? Because
no.
You have to remember, they told women, nobody can tell you what you should and should not have in your body.
I agree with what you're saying, but I think they would be afraid to do it. Look what happened with all of the masking. Now people are saying, even Fauci is admitting that maybe the masking didn't help anything. The masking hasn't. All these people that were wearing masks, there were just as many of them getting sick.
But then,
you know what you guys are telling me by talking about what you're talking about right now? You had the woman that was against the police, got beat up. Now she loves the police. You got the mayor of New York that loved Biden and let's open up the city to the immigrants.
Sanctuary city.
Now he's changed his mind, hasn't he?
Yeah.
About what's going on.
Of
what
course.
Is this telling you? What are you people telling me what you're talking about?
Well,
you're telling me people are turning right now because they're experiencing what is happening.
I agree with you.
And these are people that are all for it.
I think it should be a blowout. And Biden should lose by 45 points.
I know he's going to.
I don't care if a fire hydrant ran against him.
He's going to. There's no question about it. That's why I'm telling you. Don't listen to your polls. Just keep your eyes and ears open and you'll see what's happening.
I think
people
you may.
Are
I
turning.
Hope you're right.
When you got the Democrats turning against him.
Yeah.
Listen.
The woman's in charge of the Democrat Party somewhere. The other one's the mayor of New York City. You know, who else? I know there's a couple more too that I just can't think of them.
Oh yeah, no, there's in Massachusetts they got politicians that were normally sanctuary city
advocates.
Yep. Yes, and all of a sudden, oh no, don't send any more people over here to us. Don't, you know, this, that, and the other thing. By the way, let's clear something up. All of these people that are pouring into New York and maybe Chicago and Boston and a few of these other places these days that are illegals, most of them are not coming because the governor of Texas sent them on a bus. Most of them are coming on their own. 80% of those people that are showing up in Chicago and in New York and in Boston.
Well, why wouldn't you want to go to New York? You get a hotel room,
that's
cash,
right, but,
and phone.
But you can't blame Abbott or DeSantis for putting them on a bus. These are people that are coming on their
own
accord.
Call,
80%
that,
of them are.
Some people are calling that kidnapping by making them get on the bus.
I know, but the percentage of those people that are bussed in by the governors is very, what my point is it's a very small percentage of the people that are showing up.
Because if you got to New York, wouldn't you leave New York?
Well, it all depends. Where they came from is better.
If they put me on a bus to New York, I'd find the next bus out of New York.
Well, you would, but somebody that crossed the border and they put them in New York, the big city, and now they're going to put them in a hotel. Why would you leave?
Why do we have to? These people that are getting off these buses are not fleeing anything with the clothing that they're wearing, for crying out loud. They're not fleeing anything.
And their cell phones.
So, well, I'm just talking. If
I
you
know.
Look at it, look
I
at
say.
To me, a refugee, somebody from Ukraine that's getting away from the bombing, grabbed anything they had, and their clothes are ripped and they're torn and they haven't been washed in weeks and whatever. Those are refugees to me, not people that have brand new backpacks and shoes and jeans and designer shirts and.
Yeah, it doesn't look. It
you
doesn't
know,
look like these are the dredges of society that are crossing the border necessarily.
You know the sad part about all that is those people that are coming here with their cell phones, their new backpacks, their new clothes are taken off of the homeless back in the United States of America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
That's right.
They're
yeah.
taking them off of our people's back and putting them out. That's to tell you what the Democrats are.
This is such a screwy situation. It really is. Andrew, it is always a pleasure to have you. You sound in good voice. Sounds like you're feeling good. I'm delighted to hear you. And thank you for calling in, buddy.
You got it.
Yeah, we'll be talking again next week for sure.
You got it, Paul. Have a good weekend.
Get that painting done before it rains again.
Oh,
I'm going out there again right now.
More rain coming.
Boy, oh boy. I don't know why. It's raining, isn't it?
Well, it stopped over here. It's starting to dry up. The sky is blue over my head.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll let you get back
to
that.
Florida, wait an hour.
That's true. All right, you guys be good.
Thanks, Andrew. All right, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 U.S. metro areas with the most illegal immigrants.
You say.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you have fallen trees or damage from Hurricane Idalia? Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999. We are a veteran-owned Florida business with an ISA-certified arborist on site to handle your tree needs. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. We are licensed, insured, and have the manpower to come to your rescue today. No job too big or too small. Call us now at 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. Your trees will thank you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Ed, all our shows are on podcast. That means you go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and you click on the podcast button. It's got all our shows, the most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is and the top 10, everything. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Ed, it looks like there's another hurricane in the Caribbean, apparently.
Yeah, but that's not going to hurt anybody.
Good. That's what I was going to ask you. Going to miss us? Good. All right. Listen, did you watch last night's first NFL game?
You know, I forgot.
That's all right.
I was doing some work here on the board in the other room.
Oh, you're busy.
And I thought, what was that one? Oh, football's on tonight.
That's right.
I forgot.
Well, the reason I bring it up, Kerry Lake, you remember her? She was a former Republican candidate for governor in Arizona. She took aim at the NFL last night. You know why? Because in pregame ceremonies, a local youth choir performed a rendition of Lift Every Voice and Sing. Now, that is known as the Black National Anthem, and it preceded the regular Star-Spangled Banner last night at the game in Kansas City.
But there's a little bit of controversy there because the people that actually started that call it the Black Anthem, not the Black National Anthem. Somebody stuck national in the middle of that, and that's what gets people in an uproar.
Yeah. Well, it's widely considered to be, according to this story, the Black National Anthem. The NAACP began promoting it, believe it or not, back in 1917. So that song...
It's been around for a while.
It's been around for a long time. She said this, Kerry Lake said this, "There is the NFL still trying to force this divisive nonsense down America's throats. I will not stand for it, literally." She said, "America has only one national anthem, and that anthem is colorblind." She made a pic. Lake made her post over a picture of herself sitting during the Black National Anthem at Super Bowl, whatever it was,
in Arizona last year.
I've never heard it announced in a stadium as the black national anthem.
No, they don't say that. Okay. But it's generally considered, apparently, to be. I have nothing against them playing it.
Two things. If you don't like it, turn it off.
Yeah.
Okay? And like I said, the other thing is somebody stuck national in the middle.
Do you think it should precede the Star-Spangled Banner?
You know what? If it's been around that long, sometimes they put America the Beautiful in front. I don't know. I don't see.
I see both sides of this. I see both sides of this.
Okay, that is a big stage. It's not every Sunday that we hear it.
But here's what she says. Carrie Lake says, the national anthem, our national, is colorblind. The other one is basically, let's be honest, okay, it's focusing in on black people.
But
it
like
is.
But the thing is, like you said, it's been around since 1917.
That means that it's pulling out a certain race and highlighting them.
So in 1917, they weren't thinking, hey, let's get this on the NFL pregame.
No, but we're talking about using it today in front of the net. That's all. Okay, no problem. Hey, before we get to our top 10, real quickly, the regular season for the rest of the teams is starting this weekend.
Yeah.
The Bucks are doing what?
In Minnesota.
Okay, are we going to win the game?
Probably not.
And we're probably not going to win the game. Who won last night?
Big game last. Wow. The last part that I did figure out was
who won?
It was the Lions at Kansas City. Now, who do you thought won that game?
I don't remember who won. I think Kansas City was ahead.
They lost.
Oh, they did. Detroit won.
Detroit won 21-20.
Wow. What a game that must have been.
They were flying around. Not the old Lions. Not the old Lions.
Wow. Okay. Real quickly, let's do our top 10, Ed. Top 10 U.S. metro areas, most illegal immigrants. Here we go. Number 10, the Riverside, California metro area, believe it or not, has a 250,000 approximately. Number 9, San Francisco is 9th with their metro area, 270,000 illegals. Number 8, Atlanta metro area, 350,000. Number 7, Chicago metro area, about 550,000. Number 6, Washington, D.C. I wouldn't have thought they had as many as they did. Did you know that they've got about 570,000 illegals?
They're all at Kamala Harris's house.
Yes, on her property. She must have a pretty big piece of property. Number 5, well, this is not surprising, Miami metro area. They've got 580,000. That's a lot. Number 4, Dallas metro area, 600,000.
Mm.
Number 3, not far away, Houston metro area, 630,000. Number 2, I hope you're listening, Ed, because I'm going to ask you for number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 2 is Los Angeles metro area, mm-hmm, 925,000. All right, Ed. Who do you think is number 1 metro area with the most illegals?
In New York?
Bingo. Told New York metro area.
Told you I was listening.
You are. You were. I credit you. 1.1 million.
So if my math is correct, that's about 6 million illegals. If you add them all up.
Yeah, and that's just in the major metro areas.
That's just the ones we know about.
Well, that's just in the 10 major metro. That doesn't include Detroit.
Oh, I know.
It doesn't include all these other
Philadelphia. And that's just the ones that we know about.
Yeah.
They're all the ones that snuck in the back door.
Oh, I know.
You know? And the holes in the fence for the antelope to play.
Yes. Indeed, you're right about that as well. Anyway, thank you so very much for listening to us. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, drive carefully with all the weather we've got. And do remember, freedom works.
Suddenly, red blue lights flash us from behind. Loud voice booming, please step out onto the line. Ballot bridge roads are comfort, Cena just hides her eyes. Policeman taps the shades, is that a Chevy 69? How bizarre.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Georgia, where we've just learned a special grand jury that recommended charging former President Trump and 18 others.